We have got to fight for this nation, because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. Welcome if you're joining us here for the second hour. We sure do appreciate it. And we are going to get to phones for sure. We've got our ag report coming up, so we're going to get to that. I do have a couple things that I'll just carry over, not carry over, but talk about that I didn't talk about from that could impact our economy. One of the things that I talked about earlier today in my commentary section, obviously I was talking about the so-called recession, the Elizabeth Warren recession. You know, this is a very economically astute person. I'm being sarcastic. But, you know, the Democratic Party trying, I mean, it's so ludicrous. Why would you even make an attempt? Just stick to your socialist, communist talking points and just stick with those things. Don't try to move out into economic realm, because there is no possible way you can, in a logical, reasonable way, talk down what President Trump has done. I mean, it's impossible. So just stay off. So I talked about that a little bit, because she talked about 3 points. Well, there's a consumer debt crisis, not even close. There's a corporate debt crisis, not even close. There's a manufacturing recession. What are you talking about? A manufacturing recession? For 30 years, we haven't had any manufacturing in the country. And we're in a manufacturing recession now, when manufacturing is probably humming along, and the future of manufacturing looking better in America than it's looked in the last 40 years. What? I mean, it's just, I don't know. If it wasn't so ridiculous, it'd probably be comical. But it is amazing. And so anyway, we then talked about the idea that Congress is supposed to be voting today, the Democratic Congress, because they all want to get out of here for vacation until September. They need that vacation, folks. These guys work really hard, man. They need that vacation. You got men and women that are just all day, all night. I mean, some of them are actually talking a lot, and you know, they believe that talking is work. And you know, you try to juggle one ball all day long. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. I mean, you know, they're doing that, and then they, you know, got so many other commitments that they've got. I mean, they're just working hard. They got to get away for vacation. They got campaigns to be thinking about coming up soon. We're in campaign season. I don't know how that happened, but we are a little bit earlier than normal. So, you know, they got all those things to think about. So they want to get out of Dodge. Well, you know, they're going to have to pass this bill if they want to get out of Dodge. And I would love to hear some of the arguments, and we'll talk about some of those tomorrow. So supposedly it's going to pass. President Trump seemed very confident in that. But look, it is not going to come at great expense to future generations. Make no mistake about it. So they're expected to vote today. Yes, it's some uncertainty in the economy, maybe gone. I don't know. But that brings in a whole nother set of uncertainties in and around spending without accountability and more debt going up. By the way, oil prices are moving, have moved a little bit higher yesterday. Investors are watching this very complicated situation going on in the Persian Gulf, after the Iranians' seizing of that British tanker. So the UK is facing this change in leadership, and I don't know what they're going to do, but I would expect that tensions are ratcheting up a bit when it comes to the UK and oil in general. West Texas Intermediate crude is a little bit firmer, as we're seeing gains in Brent crude oil. I think all of this could mean some opportunities to gain market share for West Texas Intermediate, and hopefully we'll see that happen. OPEC agreed now, it's done, supply cuts by the countries led by Russia and OPEC have finalized a plan to prop up oil prices, which now is taking the drops and the cut in production all the way through to March, the end of March of 2020. So the 14-member cartel with 10 other major crude producers said that they will continue to limit the amount of oil in world markets to try to get oil prices up. They're cutting 1.2 million barrels a day through March of 2020. So more commodities coming up right now with our ag report as we talk about commodities. Here's Craig Haugard. We'll be right back after this.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn futures were under pressure yesterday as rains over the weekend outperformed the weather models, and the midday models showed a shift from warm and dry to more cool and wet. The bears were further emboldened by weekly export inspections that came in at a very disappointing 17.2 million bushels. Year-to-date export loadings are now running 245 million bushels behind last year's pace. After the close, the weekly crop conditions report placed the corn crop at 57% good to excellent, which was down 1% from last week and should give the market a bit of strength. 35% of the crop is silking, with 5% in the dough stage. Now, the five-year average is 66% silking and 10% in the dough stage, so this crop continues to lag normal development pace. As I record this, the overnight corn futures are trading 3 cents higher. Beans were pressured by the same weather forecast that beat up the corn market. Weekly export inspections were down from last week and at the low end of the range of trade guesses, coming in at 20.6 million bushels. After the close, the weekly crop condition report placed the crop as 54% good to excellent. That was unchanged from the previous week. 40% of the crop is blooming, with 7% setting pods. A year ago at this date, 76% of the crop was blooming, with 41% setting pods. Like corn, this crop continues to lag in its development. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 3 cents. Wheat was initially pushed lower in reaction to corn's poor performance, and then once Chicago December futures traded below $5, we saw a round of fund liquidation, which pressed prices even lower. Weekly export inspections came in at 15.9 million bushels, which was better than both last week's numbers as well as year-ago numbers. Winter wheat harvest continues to make good progress, with 69% of the crop now out of the field. Spring wheat continues to look very good, with 76% rated in the good to excellent category. That's unchanged from last week and only down 3% from year-ago numbers. 92% of the spring wheat is headed, which is right in line with the five-year average. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Kansas City are both 4 cents higher, and Minneapolis is trading up a nickel as I record this. Cotton futures posted a stronger close on Monday. In recent days, the $64 level has turned into a significant resistance point for the December futures, and that was tested and held once again yesterday. For this session, December futures were up 29 points to settle at 63.36. The crop condition was rated at 60% good to excellent, which is up 4 points from the previous week. 78% of the crop is squaring, while 33% is setting bulls. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading an additional 26 points higher. Cattle futures were higher to start the week, with lean hog futures lower in the spot month and higher in the deferred months. For the session, August live cattle futures closed 85 cents higher, while August feeder cattle were up $2.20 for the day. August lean hogs were 65 cents lower, while October futures finished the session 27.5 cents higher. Class 3 milk futures spent yesterday mired at a kind of a narrow sideways trade. When the closing bell rang, the August futures were a point higher to settle at 17.67. In the overnight trade, they're trading down 2 points. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down a dime to settle at $2.13.32, while selects were 8 cents higher for the day as they closed at $189.59. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished $2.08 higher to settle at $80.61 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
What was running through my mind was an ultrasound will change my mind. I won't have this child. I can't have this child.
Welcome back. 610-363-1110. We're going to stay with phones. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 610-363-1110. Queue your call up. 610-363-1110. And we'll stay with phones. So looking forward to hearing from you. Let's see. Where are we? Okay. I'm just looking here. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do too many things at once. It didn't take me long to get back into all that swing again of trying to do too many things at once. Had that nice, calm vacation. Anyway, as I was talking about earlier about oil is recovering, and that is some good news. Look at earnings reports. You know, we've gotten so many earnings reports out, and I told you on my conference call, it's one of the things I am concerned about. I'm going to be watching very closely. I talked about it in the commentary section of my website yesterday. I hope you saw that, and I hope you will take a look at that. But earnings looking pretty good so far. UBS, one of the largest banks in the world, announced a net profit of $1.4 billion for their second quarter. So revenue was up, earnings were up, very, very good. This compared to $1.29 billion second quarter last year. So that is very good as we watch those things. One of the largest banks in the world. And that is very, very good news. I think a lot of this has to do with management decisions. But, you know, when we look at earnings just today, Coca-Cola, United Technologies, Travelers, all revenue beats, Hasbro, JetBlue, Lockheed Martin. I mean, the earnings report so strong right now. And again, all the naysayers, all the earnings recession guys for the last three quarters, here we go, another quarter, not likely to happen. Look, could earnings be slowing? Sure. Is that an issue? Well, I don't know that one quarter of that is an issue, but it gets us one quarter closer to starting to see a trend of slowing earnings. But it might be this anomaly of trade tensions at the worst so far this year were during the second quarter, March in particular. That's when the trade war concerns were at their highest. Remember, we were getting rhetoric from the president, negative tone on Mexico, Canada, and China, and virtually ignoring some of the things that we could have done in the Eurozone, all this happening in this same time frame. So I don't know that we have got a lot to be concerned about yet in earnings. We are not yet in the heart of earnings. That's not going to be until the middle of next week before we really start getting into earnings. But we are still going to all day today be flooded with earnings reports. And I've not been tuned in to where we are with all of that on the news front, but nonetheless, we continue to see what's happening. Iran is playing a very dangerous game. It is testing some red lines. One of the things that has happened yesterday that U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in a speech yesterday that we have now sanctioned the Chinese state-run energy company for allegedly violating restrictions imposed on Iran's oil sector. Now, I mentioned this to you last week after I came back from Washington. And I told you that I was privileged to sit and hear Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, and John Bolton. And Secretary of State Pompeo made it very clear that President Trump has said to our national security advisors and Secretary of State, has made it very clear that zero oil coming out of Iran means something very different than it has meant in the past. This time, zero oil by Iranian producers means, are you ready? Zero oil. It doesn't mean, yeah, we're going to turn our head. We're not going to look at this. And we understand there's some black market oil sales going on. We understand there's some people that have to violate. And we'll look the other way. No. It means zero. Iran has shut down their largest oil producing area. Shut it down. I don't know how many people that puts out of work, but I suspect it's a fair amount of people. This is having a significant economic impact. And now we take what used to be a very cordial trading partner like China, and Secretary Mike Pompeo says, oh, by the way, China, you're included in this. We are now putting sanctions on your oil energy-run company. Everything's owned by the state. It's a communist regime. You know that, right, with China. So we're not going to put up with the behavior from anybody. And he said that sanctions will be placed on any behavior that goes against the sanctions that we placed. And he went on to say, and we mean it, end quote. We mean it. We don't care who it is. So does this, I don't know, revisits our tensions with China when it comes to sanctions? Sure it does. When it comes to trade, yes it does. So what? Do you care? Do you care? I don't care. I don't know. Listen, if you care, I want you to think about this if you care about that. I want you to think about it. You may be one of the people that called me 10 years ago on the radio, 15 years ago on the radio, 20 years ago on the radio, maybe a couple years ago, whining and complaining about the economy because America has left all our manufacturing go to China. Right? How many people did I hear from? How many people have been complaining? Me as well. Now, we're doing something about it. Listen, we can't complain. And look, no matter what anybody says, I don't care who says it, who the economist is that says it, this is hurting China far more than it's ever going to hurt America. We're going to be okay. Now, if we really want to be okay, we'll quickly move on to trade conversations with other people. Our phone lines are open, 610-363-1110. So I'm still getting emails. I got all these emails yesterday about questions that I still didn't answer. You want to get your question answered, now's the time. Pick the phone up, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. So cue your call up now, 610-363-1110. On this July 23rd. So look, we can't worry about that. And certainly it is being reported that now the U.S. delegation being led by Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is headed over to Beijing. What the report said, that they are likely to visit for the first face-to-face meeting since the G20 with the vice premier. So Lighthizer and Mnuchin hopefully headed over to China. So look, China, we're still talking. We got to continue to talk. China understands our deal with our sanctions with Iran. They understand it. They get it. So it's really hard for them unless they can say, no, we didn't do that. We really didn't. And they can prove it. Then they're going to have to deal with the sanctions. But China testing the waters to make sure, well, I don't know if we can, I think we can get away with it. China, the number one importer of oil. They need oil from everybody they can get it from. They can get it from us. China, you want some oil? We'll send you oil. Just, you know, let us know. They've increased their oil imports from us to 300,000 barrels a day. We'll take it up another 300,000 barrels. You need it? We'll do it for you. We'll take care of it. Japan's concerned about getting oil through the Strait of Hormuz. No worries. Japan, that's what we're here for. We want to help you out. Hey, Eastern Europe, are you concerned about, winter's not far away, man. Are you concerned about Russia controlling that nat gas knob so that you can heat your homes? You're still worried about that? That's not a problem. We're here. We're ready to help you. We'll take that market share. We're okay with that. We have a golden opportunity here, and I think we may finally be in a position to start taking advantage of some of these things. So hopefully that will be a pivotal part of these negotiations as we move ahead. So yes, we want to make some positive steps to reduce the trade tensions. There's no doubt about it. We will do that. European stocks doing very well. They seem to be up, and that's good news. This on the day that they have confirmed their new prime minister. So that's good news. Boris Johnson, the new prime minister of the UK, he's expected to take the helm of the prime minister tomorrow. They don't waste any time. Certainly, he's got Huawei and China and Iran, lots of things to be dealing with. All right, we're going to get to phones, 610-363-1110. We'll be right back. Welcome back. 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 610-363-1110. All right, let me go to Ruth. Ruth's calling us from North Carolina. Hi, Ruth.
Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You made a statement earlier that people, I think, in Virginia is having a celebration that President Trump is supposed to be attending.
The people in Virginia, did you say?
Well, it's a celebration that President Trump is. They don't know if he's going to go or not, but they've told him that if he does, they won't show up.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember talking about that. I didn't mention that, I don't think. Not today, anyway. But anyway,
it may have been the first just before you, but I've been.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't me. I didn't talk about that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'd just like to say that if Trump wants to go, he should go to represent the United States.
Yeah.
And if these folks can't deal with that, then there's something wrong on their side of the fence.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I don't think President Trump cares much about what they think, really, in the grand scheme of things. I think if he can go, he's going to go, and he's not going to worry. I hope not what they think. I think the only worry he's got today is getting this bill passed on the debt ceiling. So he may want to just stay close to home for that reason. But anyway, thank you, Ruth. I appreciate it. Let me go to Luther. Luther's calling us from Texas. Hey, Luther.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I had a question. It's talking in reference to the spending bill.
Uh-huh.
What was it? NPR. Someone on NPR was saying they were that the money the government brings in because of the tax cuts. So we're still spending more than we're bringing in because of the tax cuts. It's increasing. But I thought that businesses feeling stronger that anyway, I thought I had heard that it was up by 3%, the revenue that the government brings in from their taxes, and that was up. But yeah, NPR is saying that it's way down. I was just going to ask if you could give me some information on that.
Yeah, so revenues were down last month, but overall they're up. And I suspect that if we continue to see the pro-growth environment not stall, if it doesn't stall too bad, that revenues are going to continue to rise. So that's not the issue as much as the left would like to blame it on that. They can blame it on that. But we've had the last 10 years of the same problem without the tax cuts. So it isn't like, well, before the tax cuts, we were bringing in more money than we were sending out. That's not the case at all. So if it was the case, we wouldn't be in $21 trillion worth of debt. So I don't know. I can't speak as to the report and what NPR said. I can only tell you what I know. And revenues are doing fine. And, you know, slowing down corporate America is not going to raise revenues like they would think. I mean, this is a left that still says, well, Amazon doesn't pay any taxes. Yeah, they pay tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars in taxes, but, you know, it's not enough. So for the left, but they don't even say that. They just say they're not paying any. So I'm not sure. The fact of the matter is that is right, that I guess they reported. We don't have enough revenue to cover the spending. That has been the problem for many, many years. And it has gotten worse, dramatically worse, over the last 14 years. So, you know, the problem is at the end of the day that we will have less money coming in than we have going out. And, you know, so getting another credit card is not the answer to that. The answer at some point in time, you know, cut spending. And when people talk about their own personal debt and they're in debt and they can't get ahead and they're living month to month and all those things, then you've only got two options. You can cut your spending or you can increase your revenues. So you can get a second job or you can cut out your cable or whatever it is. So there's no options. We can talk about, you know, they can talk, people talk about options all day long. There are no options. There's only two. Increase your revenue or decrease your spending. Or do both, which is what the government needs to do. So this, the whole notion that both the left and the right, all they want to talk about is revenues. Republicans, they want to talk about revenues. Democrats, they want to talk about revenues. Republicans want to talk about increasing revenues. The Democrats want to talk about, well, they're not increasing, they're decreasing. Whatever it is, that's all they want to talk about. You notice none of them want to talk about spending. They don't want to even go there. They don't want to go there. So at some point in time, both parties have to wake up and understand that the problem that we have with deficits is never, ever going to get fixed until they look at the spending crisis, not the revenue crisis, the spending crisis in Washington, and they refuse to look at it. So here we are singing the same song that I've been singing for 20 years, and I guess I'll sing it for the rest of my life. But until we get a plan to reduce spending, I have been saying for years, Luther, years, the easiest thing to fix in Washington is Social Security. I am telling you, if I were king of the world for 2 days, I could fix Social Security in my first day. It's not hard to fix. But it is so untouchable by politicians that they're going to let it go bankrupt so that they can then be the savior instead of the fixer now. And we're going to save it, but they don't want to fix it. They would rather it go bankrupt, creating panic in America before they fix it, because they know then they can fix it without worrying about votes. They can actually fix it and maybe garnish more votes instead of worrying about losing votes. So that's the pathetic state of the system in which we live in. So it's really, really annoying. So anyway, that's where we are. All right, let me go to, anyway, lines open, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 610-363-1110. Kind of easy number to remember, 610-363-1110. So that's the number. You can queue your call up. If you want to get your question or comment heard, listened to, commented on, now's a good time to do it. The lines are open, 610-363. Yesterday, 1110, yesterday we had a full board for 3 hours, which is not unusual, but it is kind of unusual, number one, for a Monday, and it's unusual for the Monday after I've been away for a week. But anyway, we're ready to take your call if you're ready to queue your call up and get it in the queue. So, you know, when we look at the central banks and what we are talking about when we talk about the U.S. debt, we've got to look at where we are in interest rates. And one of our saving, the saving grace right now is that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to be incentivized by the department, by the Treasury Department, to keep interest rates low. And that is likely to happen as we need to stay in a very low interest rate in environment. So we'll see if that can hold up. All right. Let me go to Linda. Linda's calling us from Texas. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
Our question is, my husband was unexpectedly laid off at age 61 and is thinking about going ahead and retiring. And so we would be moving into the income portfolio. And is this a good time since the market's so high?
Well, I think it is. I think that I wouldn't be, as I say all the time, Linda, with income portfolio, you're only concerned about generating income. And whether the market drops or goes up, that shouldn't change very significantly. I wouldn't run all in. I would dollar cost average in as you develop your portfolio over the next 6 months. But I think as far as income goes, it's as good a time as any, because we are seeing dividends being reduced preferred stocks getting harder to get, and I'm concerned about utility stocks cutting dividends. So I would start locking in some of that sooner rather than later.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Linda. God bless. Folks, we'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Let's get back to phone 610-363-1110. Let me go to James. James calling us from Florida. Hey, James.
Hey, good morning. Good subject today. I kind of wanted to make a point using myself as an example of being financially responsible and a godly person, which I suspect our government has not been overall with the national debt. I mean, I know the economy is doing great. I'm a Trump supporter, and I understand all the great things that are happening. But, for example, about 10 years ago in my life, I was having a real hard time, okay? I was bringing home, I'm talking about bringing home $300 every 2 weeks, working 40 hours a week. And I had to, because I had to pay child support. I lived up to my responsibilities. I had twin boys. And unfortunately, I was separated. But now, in order for me to make up what I was losing, remember, I was bringing home $300 every 2 weeks. I had to work 2 to 3 jobs for about 10 years now. But I will say that I have a pension. I'm on the FRS, and I have a pension. But it took me 10 to 12 years working 2 to 3 jobs to make the money. And by the way, I had a retirement savings account that I put money into. And I also have a 401k that I put into. So what I'm saying is that obviously our government has not been that fiscally responsible with anything. And if I was to give my opinion on what they should cut, I think President Trump should go after all the federal agencies and start trimming the fat wherever they can, whether that's 3%, 6%, 7%, whatever he can muster. Whatever he can get out of it. That's
yeah.
What I think he should do.
Well, you know what, James, and this is what I was saying to Luther earlier, a caller, you know, just saying that, look, it's, you know, you chose the option. And as I was explaining, we got two options in our personal life, and it's the same two options that the government has. And there's no other options. You can, you know, people try to search for other options. People call me looking for a different, there aren't any. You either can increase your income, that's what you chose to do by working several jobs, or you can decrease your expenses. Now, maybe you chose not to decrease your expenses because you'd already done that and you still didn't have enough. That's what it sounds like. So you were really in an easy situation in the sense that you didn't have to choose. You only had one option, get another job and maybe even another job.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
So you didn't even have to make that decision. The problem is it's that simple. And the government has to choose. Let me tell you what Ronald Reagan did. And this is what President Trump needs to do, going to what you said. We don't need to cut the fat out of the government. We need to make the assumption, because it's probably pretty accurate, that there is tons of fats in every government agency. And that's what Ronald Reagan did. Ronald Reagan said, here's the deal. Everybody, every single department in the government has got to cut 4% out of their budget. Find it.
Yes.
I don't know where you're going to find it. You find it. Just find it. Just cut it out. You know what the average was that every department cut? 7%. Once they started cutting, and now he exempted the Department of Defense, the military. So it was every department but the Department of Defense. And we ended up saving billions and billions of dollars while shrinking the size of government. That's what has to happen.
Working more efficiently.
Exactly.
Working more efficiently. I mean, what is so hard? I don't understand what the big rift is about being responsible, working more efficiently. I just think, this is what I think. I just think that nowadays politicians just want to go back to their districts and say, look at how much money I found us.
Oh, yeah.
Look at all the money I'm spending.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, and all we're doing is passing it on. I'm 56 years old. All we're doing is passing on to our children.
Yep.
That's all we're doing.
That's it.
So thanks for taking my call, man. By the way, like I said, I support President Trump. I'm going to reelect him. I'm not really a conservative. I'm more moderate,
yeah,
to tell you the truth. You know, and that, I think that's where most of America's at, mm-hmm, when it comes down to it. But like I said, I'm supporting him. I mean, please. I mean, if you got, you know, at Walk Away, you guys got to really think about if the Green New Deal was passed, what type of debt we would have got in.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have been ugly.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, thanks a lot, Dan.
All right, James. I'm glad you called. Thank you, brother. Good stuff. You know, but yeah, it is. And listen, folks, what James and I were just talking about, it is that simple. It is that simple. Now, you'll find, you have to dig back a little bit on my archives and the website. You'll find an article that I wrote about this, couple articles. The article was that I wrote, and it was published, I think, in Town Hall, so you can probably find it there. I'm not certain it was Town Hall. Might have been CBN News or Fox.com or one of those, but it was published on one of those websites. And then I wrote a follow-up article, too, about 8 months ago to it. But the article that I wrote was based on the press conference that I heard. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, at a press conference, invites Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, to come into the press conference. Steve Mnuchin is taking questions and answering some questions. And that's what spurred the whole article. Because every single time somebody asked him about debt, he referred to growth. Every single time, it's all about the growth. Growth's going to fix it. Growth's going to fix it. Growth's going to fix it. Everything was about the growth in the economy. We got a growing economy. This was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. I don't know. Year and a half ago, I'll say. And the next day I wrote this article because it scared me. Because I said, look, he's right. Growth is going to help. But you can't. We're well past the point where we can just grow our way out of it. We've passed that point about $7 trillion ago. We passed that point. So it's not going to be just from growth. We've got to do both. We've got to shrink the size of government. Ronald Reagan was a guy who understood that the bigger the government is, the worse it is for America. The last thing we need is help from the government. I remember him saying that. You know, that's the biggest, I remember one of his quotes of the worst thing you can hear is we're in trouble. And I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I mean, it's like the worst thing you could possibly hear because the government can't help. They can spend, but they're not going to help. They've got to cut. And I was in this article begging the president to talk more about to his base about what he's going to do to cut the debt. You want to guarantee his election? Start talking about it and doing something about it. Because he is in a place today where people will believe what he said because he's done so much of what he said he was going to do. So he's not coming from a place of no credibility in what he promises. He's not coming from that place like every single politician on the left and the right is always coming from. He's not coming from that place. So he's got to now step up and say, look, here's the deal. We're going to do this, this, and this. We're going to cut the size of government, we're going to cut the federal deficit, and we're going to grow the economy. Now you're doing both. You're increasing revenues at the very same time that you're cutting expenses. And that's how James from Florida is going to get by and get out of debt. That's how, you know, Jane Doe from Kansas is going to do it. That's how we're going to do it. That's how we do it as a family. People say, you know, people say, well, I want to lose weight, but I can't stop eating cake and donuts. Well, good luck with that. And if you ever figure out a way to do it, please call me first. Look, you can't, if you want to get out of debt, you've got to cut every possible thing you can cut. And when that's not enough, you've got to increase your income. That's it. So you can search all the options in the world. There's people that have written books about all the options. There are people that do, you know, TV and radio spots about all this. That's fine. That's great. But look, it isn't any more complicated than that. You only have two options. You just got to choose. Are you going to do them both? You're going to do one? What is going to work for you? But you can search all the other options if you want. Cut expenses or increase income. And if you're smart, you'll do both. Increase income. You mean I got to work every Saturday for the next 3 years? Maybe. I got to work at night when I get? Maybe. You know, whatever. But that's the way it works. All right, we're going to go back to phones. We got another hour and 10 minutes left, folks. Hour and 5 minutes. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. So cue your call up. We got a line open. We got some questions, too, from Facebook and our website and people watching on FISM television. So we'll get to those as well. 610-363-1110. I will mention to you, have you done this? Maybe you didn't hear my interview. JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. I wanted to shut down the website. I don't know if we did or not. I hope we did. Call me and let me know if you couldn't get through. JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. Get that book, Jezebel's War with America. You can get it for free. As soon as you sign up to get it, which comes out August 6th, you're going to get the first three chapters right away. You're going to be able to download and read it. And then you'll get the rest of the book.